quite windy. I hope the mic shield stroke spoffle does the right thing and try and keep the wind out of the microphone. I'm walking the dog, as I do quite often, but she's a little bit yampier than normal today because of the epic 13-hour day that I've had, starting with a bleary-eyed beginning, a lift to the train station, the train into London, the tube in the general direction of White City, then a brisk walk, a desperate taxi, and finally ending up in White City for the conference. Hey, what are you eating? Drop it. A curly whirly? A whole curly whirly? How the hell? I'll tell you what, at the end of the world, you're doing all my foraging. It's wrapped as well. Where was I? Oh yeah, I'm brain dead at the moment. The BBC SMS social media summit. I have been brain dead all day, so this isn't really anything particularly special. I have to thank Joanna Geary for she's okay actually. I was going to thank her for being ill or dropping out at the last minute so I could have a momentary burst of adrenaline as I'm asked, would you be okay to go on stage in a few minutes and talk on a panel, and then join the panel discussing audience expectations, which was quite interesting because everybody definitely had a different kind of take on things. The conference itself, an immense amount of work from people like Claire Wardle. Conferences always have value. Doesn't matter what people say in the feeds, and whether or not anything actually ever gets done, they always have value. Normally the space is between the talks quite a lot of the time, but I learned a lot today, a lot about some of the limitations that large infrastructures are faced with. Approaching a busy road, sorry about the noise. I learned a lot about the BBC. I learned that their canteen is massive and has a very large array, selection of different foodstuffs. The power of Twitter shocked some of the staff when the queue at the fish and chips, after somebody tweeted, "We highly recommend the fish and chips," was just all the way around the block, effectively, and they were a little bit shocked, so I had to kind of explain on how a tweet can do all of this, advertising their fine fare. So that was good. It was great, as ever, connecting with people who, you know, appear to have come in from all over the world to be here. I'm now walking under the very busy road, which will soon get noisy, but at the moment, it's almost get your harmonica out time and play some blues. So yes, it was kind of interesting being in a completely different echo chamber. Oh, look, I'm underground, I'm in an echo, and I'm talking about echo chambers. That wasn't intended. Because there were a lot of people in that room that kind of knew what we were talking about, and I had a feeling that a lot of the people quite high up in the Beeb really needed to be in that room. And I kind of made the joke about, is all the video from the conference going to be carved onto some wax cylinder and delivered to the people that needed to hear what was being said? And obviously, wax cylinder only shows audio, doesn't show video, so that was a stupid joke to make. It was interesting how I'm nearly about to get run over. I've got to walk fast, because if I don't walk fast at this point, the dog does a dump on this guy's lawn. I do have poo bags with me, but even if you're picking it up, you always have to kind of give him a nod as he curtain twitches and watches the dog very slowly sometimes take a dump on his grass, and me go sorry and wave a bag saying it's okay, I'm going to pick it up in a moment, and I have to put you through that. Right. Walking away from the busy road. So, not a lot about stories today, storytelling, story making. It's almost as if every journalist in the room forgot about the story and basically thought they were purely, solely reporters. I think if we think more about the story, then we can be forgiven for getting passionate about the story. And the moment I mentioned, well, maybe occasionally journalists should inject a little emotion, because how do we know whether to believe them? How do we know that these facts are as immense as they are telling us, if there isn't some kind of way to gauge in their voice, like you would do if you told anybody any information? And to say that, oh, we've got to be unbiased, bollocks, really, isn't it? When you think about how unbiased the newspapers are, there's always going to be a bias. And the more you try not to have a bias, the more it seems to come out. So either you are obvious about whatever bias you may have, which is honest, and at least you can then pick and choose and listen to the journalists you want, but always question, especially when the bias is evident. Or you are a stony-faced repeater, not a reporter, a repeater of facts, who then has the bias put on by the numerous sub-editors or editors, which then take control of the story before it's finally put out there. I don't know. Makes sense in my head. And also, nobody mentioned gaming, which is really interesting, because the amount of conferences I've been to recently, some really cutting-edge stuff that mentions gaming. And I just had a little chat with News Mary afterwards as well, and she felt the same way. Nobody seems to understand that gaming has a place in all of this, and that just the word sometimes is a turn off to so many people. They see gaming as probably as bloody Tetris or bat and ball when it is a lot more complex than that. And there is much engagement to be had, and there are so many ways to deliver this information that these large agencies, corporations are doing. So don't rule out any of this. Maybe we'll be talking about it in, you know, a couple of years' time when everybody else is over it and doing it. We'll see. On the way home, I had quite an interesting conversation. The taxi driver who picked me up had the most pristine and immaculate car. And recently, I think if you go to audioboo.net and look at some of my other boos, .net links to my account, I think search the word racist, you'll find an audio boo about an elderly lady who picked me up in a car that had done 500,000 miles and that she refuses to replace. And I actually quite enjoyed the novelty factor of being given a lift in a very old, manky, will we make it vehicle with the fluffy seat covers and the masses of air fresheners. And of course her ever so slightly racist mentality, which was quite a shock at first, but your very sad part of your mind kind of went, oh, bless, some old people really do think this way. Nevertheless, it's a taxi ride I will remember, and coming out of the train station tonight, I kind of had this thought, I hope she's there. But she's that old, she may have died. And then I thought, why don't we theme taxis? I know we have advertisements and everything on London cabs and plastered with all kinds of stuff, but now, if I had it would be something to look forward to. Very long train ride home, and you know you've just got the taxi for the last leg. Is today's taxi going to be a large dog? Is it going to be the guy that drives a hearse and dresses like Dracula? Now, themed taxis, I think, would make the final bit home way more interesting. And when I mentioned that to the guy, he kind of gave me one of those looks as if to say, you're not a nutter, are you? You're not going to stab me in the side of the neck. And I pushed him and pushed him. Come on, come on. What would your theme be? What would your theme be if you could theme your taxi? I can't theme a taxi because the council won't allow it. Have you asked them? No, I just know they won't allow it. We've got to be in keeping with the villages and the towns. We're not allowed advertisements on the outside. We've got to be in keeping. So you're not allowed to look like a huge fluffy dog driving down the road. The look again, the look. You're not going to stab me in the side of the neck, are you? No, I'm not. Just get on with it. Force yourself to answer. And he says, blue. You'd do what? I'd have a blue interior. A blue interior. What, like underwater? Like an underwater theme? No, just blue. Is that as imaginative as you can get? That will never happen. Too much legislation. But in the alternate reality that lives in my head, I'd be forever looking forward to the taxi that is themed like a UFO. Definitely. That's what I want to be taking home. Right. I'm rambling. It must be the wine that we had after the conference. I'm thinking an early night for me tonight. And if you've listened this far, I should be able to ping you now some kind of virtual badge to say well done. Onwards.